God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're at the end here of the doctrine of suffering. And so let's take the usual time to make the usual and necessary preparation for the intake of the word of God. Let us pray. Father, once again, we come before the throne of your grace. Thank you that your mercies are renewed to us each and every day, and that you continue to provide for us what we need as believers in order to continue to advance and stay firm in the faith in these times. Bless our Bible class in Christ's name. Amen. All right, suffering produces the virtue of patience. We noted that last time, I believe. But anyway, here it is again. People drop the ball here in the Christian way of life because they do not maintain patience in the angelic conflict. Patience is a critical Christian virtue, and as you go through things, it develops your capacity to wait on God and let Him work things out. So, Romans 5, 3 and 4, and not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations. Now, how many people can say that? That they exult in their tribulations. That it's easy to exult in other kinds of things in life, but we exult in our tribulations knowing something. Knowing that tribulation, a synonym for suffering, brings about perseverance. That's the aspect of staying the course, staying in the truth. And perseverance, proven character. And proof in character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. James 1, 2, and 4 has a similar theme. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Now, in order to do that, you have to really be focused and know that your current round of sufferings aren't some big accident, but that they serve a purpose. When you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result. And the perfect result is the mature believer maintaining that status quo to the end of phase two. We just have a little while to go. My view, I know. We have a little while to go by any standards. So this is the time to continue to buckle down and stay in Bible class, and stay around positive volition, stay in prayer, stay in fellowship, and relate the things that are happening to you as a positive, not a negative. To the world, these things are all a negative. But when we're truly on top of the situation, we recognize that these things are for our ultimate spiritual well-being in time. A, suffering and surpassing grace, blessing in eternity. Suffering and the tests of the Christian way of life, which we pass, accumulate phase three reward. We'll get to that. Those who remain positive under the various tests and sufferings associated with this body of death reap surpassing grace reward. I believe I've read this one too. Well, I know I've read it many times in the past, but it's an excellent passage that assures the believer in Jesus Christ that even the deterioration of your physical body because of aging and other factors, that deterioration is described as momentary light affliction because it is only for a short time and is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. The eternal weight of glory includes the SG3 package. And at the top of the list in that is the crown. For those who might be relatively new to Bible doctrine, know that you do not have to have been here for years in order to qualify in this department. You just have to be in the right place when the end comes. Excuse me. It's producing an eternal weight of glory. So that's what I have to think about when I think about myself and my aging or health CHPs. They are producing an eternal weight of glory. And as I have observed believers who have gone through the testing associated with advanced age, you can have testing in your body otherwise, obviously. But as I have observed them and they've stuck in there, you've got big time reward coming. If you stop today, but don't stop today. Just keep in mind that God, who has promised, will come through with this eternal weight of glory. It's heavy. It's a big thing. And it's eternal. It's not just for even a long time. It is something that you will enjoy forever and ever for that little blip of time you have and I have on this earth as believers. It's just a pinpoint. It's compared to eternity, it's almost, you almost can't see it. It flashes by. It's the eternal weight of glory, and this momentary light affliction is producing this weight of glory. And for the adjusted believer, their occupation, their ultimate occupation, is they do not look at the things which are seen. They aren't the end-all and be-all like they are with people out there all over the place. The things of this life are the things which are seen. But we look at the things which are not seen. You've been in Bible class. You've had the eyes of your soul. You had the blinders taken off. And now you can see that there is something in the ultimate sanctification category that is beyond all comprehension. For the things which are seen, nice things, observed, they're temporal. They're nice, they're enjoyable, and can be, but they can be a big distraction and drag you down. And this is what's happened to any number of believers. They peeled off because they're going after the things that are seen. And you can make a whole list of stuff. These things are temporal. But the things which are not seen with the natural eye at this time are eternal. Our present sufferings pale when compared to our phase three glory. There is no comparison. There is no comparison. Paul says in Romans 8:18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time," this was his spiritual frame of reference, "the sufferings of this present time," and he had them big time. Big time. He became kind of a special example of what a believer can go through, stay positive, and reap this. He says he considers the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. And that revelation, well, obviously, people that are in heaven, they've got a big view of it. But they're waiting for their resurrection body so they can cash in on their SG3 account. Occupation with God's plan involves occupation with SG3. And realizing something, that Your sufferings are not some dead end negative. They are working positive for you for phase two and for phase three. This has to be restated over and over again because of the STA and woe is me that people get into. All right. We gave you 2 Corinthians 4:17, also 1 Peter 5:10. I'll read that one again if I haven't already. I really don't know what we're going to be corporately and as believers be asked to go through before we're out of here. But I have no control over that, nor should I think about it. That just focus on today. Focus on the here and now that you're under. You may ask, why me? Well, there is a reason for it, as long as you're positive. This is a passage here that tells you to hang in there with your niche. The circumstances as they now exist today. Hang in there with regard to your circumstances. Maybe there are things you'd like changed, and you pray about it or wait on God, He'll change those things. But Peter advises these believers to humble themselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time. He's not talking about phase three. He's talking about phase two. He will exalt you and give you SG2, blessings in time. Turn situations positive for you. And you don't have to lift a finger other than to be in fellowship, be in doctrine, be around positive believers. And when you hang in there with a test and don't go AWOL or do crazy stuff, then you've humbled yourself under the mighty hand of God. You've stayed in a circumstance that may not be attractive. But the fact is that you're humbling yourself by staying in your niche, casting all your anxiety on Him. Try it. Keep doing it. Whatever your concerns are. Now, you can't change other people's volition. You can pray for them. And there's sometimes where it's, you know, where God told Jeremiah, the nation right now is a lost cause. Don't even bother. Take them off your prayer list. Take them off your prayer list. Because they passed that line and the fifth cycle's coming. So, you'll be led of the Holy Spirit to know how to pray. I can pray in general terms. If you're out there listening and you know you ought to be here, but you're embarrassed, just come to Bible class. Get back on track. That's the grace of God. And you know what? The royal family here will embrace you and welcome you. And they won't ask you anything about the past or how could you... They don't go there. They will be encouraged. So you're embarrassed. So you're this. Better to be embarrassed in time, get over it, get grace-oriented, get back, than to be embarrassed at the Bema seat. If you've got the wherewithal to be in Bible class and you were once in the day and you were strong and you were emphatic, get back with it. I hear rumors that some people are listening. I don't know. Get back with it. Now, if you have a doctrinal hang-up, I'm out of here with that doctrine of the flat earth. You need to pray about it, and you need to pray with intellectual honesty. But anyway, be sober. Be of sober spirit. What does it mean, sobriety? Spiritual sobriety. Don't get all cranked up by things. Running amok. There's all this stuff out here and all these reports of everything that you can get cranked up on. What good is it going to do you? The evil that God permits is going to continue to run amok. The righteous live under it and endure under it. They always have. We can't change this. We just recognize and we don't get all worked up on stuff. Oh, this is going to change things. No, it isn't ultimately going to change the big picture. There isn't going to be some savior human arise and turn everything around for America. It isn't going to happen. We got too many problems. I don't care how good a guy he is, if he managed to get into the top spot. You know what he's up against? Yeah. There was a king in Israel, a good king. But the society and the people around him were so corrupt. He was trying to suppress the idolatry and everything. He couldn't turn it around. And he died in battle. Be sober. Be on the alert. There is always this potential that someone want to broadside you with something. To knock you out of Bible class and away from this doctrine. You're just on the alert. You're not... Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Now, this isn't physical. This is analogy. An analogy to the fact of his agents are out there. Not necessarily Satan personally, but his agents are out there. And there are those that would be more than happy to trip you up. And some of them you may be close to and you know. And I've seen believers here devoured. They quit listening to their pastor teacher and start listening to somebody else. Before, everything was fine. Oh, they'll give all excuses. But all they can do is excuses. You know, they never came to me with anything. Well, he wouldn't listen. Well, I'm not going to listen to stupid stuff. But resist him. Firm in your faith. You just stand for what you know is right. Knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. A salute to the kingdom of God that's on the horizon. So, to the extent that you are willing to acclimate to your allotted CHPs, you'll inherit phase 3 reward. To that extent, 1 Peter 4:13. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, remember, we're sharing the sufferings of Christ. We're filling up the measure of the sufferings of Christ. But only God knows what that is. And when the last of us suffer, the rapture will occur. You may be suffering big time right at the rapture. I don't know. Or it may just be the normal course of things. Keep on rejoicing so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. You know, you can even rejoice when people are on your case spiritually. You're being persecuted. You're being this or that. Or you hear that they're talking you down. I hear of it. I don't focus on it. I don't particularly want to hear of it. I don't care in the sense that it's no skin off my nose. It's just talk. It's just people out there that once, you know, were singing the praises of Maranatha Church and the ministry here, and none of the content, yes, we've added a doctrine or two. We've had breakthroughs. That's always been true. It hasn't changed. The content is the same. But when they get away from it and take in this other stuff, they turn against it, and a lot of them can't keep their mouths shut. And some are like on a crusade. I know at least one individual, or I've heard of his. I never did that fellow wrong. I always did good to that fellow. I talked to him and counseled him when his first marriage collapsed. I helped him. Never did I do anything that way. And so that if a person is out there doing that, is that what Jesus would do? And I hear he's religious, funny religious or whatever. Is that what Jesus would do? Is that what Jesus would sponsor? My job in teaching doctrine is to expose evil. If something's wrong, it's wrong. And if I'm persecuted for it, fine. That's the way it goes. Some have done it to my face, some have done it whatever. Let them run amok. So I'm supposed to rejoice, knowing that I'm going to get big SG3. Jesus did, and all who put up with these kind of attacks. Some things to keep in mind. The Lord knows your sufferings and will deliver you out of them all. One at a time, He will continue to deliver you. A health test. I've been through a lot of different things. I know you have, a lot of you too, and are. But you will be delivered from this. Some of it's going to have to wait till the rapture. Because He isn't going to reverse. You're not going to find a pill and take it and set your time clock back 30 years. There's those that promise that, but I don't think it's going to work. I'm skeptical. So, He knows your sufferings. He will deliver you out of them all. When Israel was in Egypt, He knew what they were going through. It looked like He'd forgotten them. Got them down there and just let them suffer for all those years under the tyranny of the anti-Semitic pharaohs of the 12th dynasty. But He was monitoring everything. Their enemies at that time, particularly, but the nation was cursed by association of a pharaoh who were persecuting them. Now, what had to happen down in Egypt? See, the Jews down in Egypt, didn't exactly have their nose clean. They were dabbling around in idolatry, all the rest of it. There were exceptions, wonderful exceptions, like Moses' parents. They were straight up. They were strong. They are mentioned in the Hebrews 11 chapter. And yet they're living under this with their kids. They're slaves under this tyranny. They have no civil liberties. But they're living up in Goshen. And it got so, and so the Pharaoh just kept increasing this oppression, making it worse. And of course, the final one was what? The genocide of all newborn male babies. And his people running around trying to find these babies and drown them in the Nile. Genocide. And so the Jews began more and more calling on the name of the Lord. They had a prophetic promise. It came through Abraham that they'd be under oppression, so and God would bring them out, and that God would judge their oppressor, and that they would plunder their oppressor. Now you talk about turning the tables. And this took all those plagues. So when God called Moses at the burning bush, who was up there in his own self-imposed exile, he was still positive, even when his attempt at energy of the flesh to deliver Israel was blew up in his face. When he switched sides, aligned himself with the oppressed. And he had to leave Egypt. And he left Egypt not out of fear, but because he wanted to live long enough to see exactly how God was going to get them out of there. He didn't have any aspirations to be the great leader that he ultimately became. He's sitting out there in Saudi Arabia waiting. Now that's a big test. 40 years. This is the key. He turned his back on the treasures of Egypt and his high position in the royal thing, leading armies, doing other stuff, being a hero in Egyptian society. See, the Egyptians, we would say today they're racist. They didn't like Semitic peoples. They feared them. Those stinking sheep herders. Kind of like the old West in America. The cowboys versus the ones out there with the sheep that come in and graze on an open range. And all you've seen that in the past. It's just to illustrate. They didn't like the Semitic peoples. And they were fearful that they were going to come down and attack them. Their country. And so what are those Israelites up there? They're Semitic. See, it's the pride of the Egyptians. We're cattlemen. We got a great empire. It's unrivaled in the Middle East. We got all this wealth. Egypt. Well, the pride of Egypt was broken with 10 plagues. Now, here's Israel. These are God's children. These are believers going through something you and I have never been through. That kind of oppression where they were working them long hours. The whole idea that the Pharaoh had in mind was, if we put all this oppression on them, their population growth will dwindle. Well, that didn't happen either. Because that dummy's not in control. God is. None of these people out here are in control. God can punch their ticket, frustrate their little game, and He will. With their great plans, with their big reset, or whatever they're talking about. The one who sits in heaven laughs. He will have them in complete disarray. And for the rich men, they got a special prophecy for them. Special category rich men. It can't be every rich man on earth because they're scattered. There's very rich men, billionaires, these type of people, all over the place. In all these different countries, not just in America or Europe. There's oligarchs in Russia. There's rich men all over the place. But there's a special category that he's coming after. Just to be rich, okay, that's one thing. But to try to use it to oppress other people, that's another story. But anyway, we haven't gone. Now, in the church age, believers, Christians have gone through very serious periods of persecution. The Roman persecutions, you know, the Colosseum. And then an individual. So whatever happens, happens. They persecuted the early church from the beginning. They threw them in jail. They told them to not preach in Jesus' name. And they said, we'd rather obey God than men. So if you're out there and you're listening, we obey God, not men. When there is a contradiction, even with the establishment people, where there is a contradiction, we follow God and His word. We tell people what is right and what is wrong. As in the Ten Commandments or as in any of the moral codes that are worth anything. We tell people what's right and we tell people what's wrong. From the divine viewpoint. And warn people that unless they repent of this mess, they're going to pay. We're not happy that they are, but they're going to. Any of you can repent out there, change your mind, and break from this mess. Where they're calling good evil and evil good, like the Bible says. We didn't used to think like that. But anyway. So at the book, at the Lord said, I've surely seen the afflictions of my people. I'd like to say that the Jews are being afflicted today. This is their land by divine right. Not the Palestinians, not any of these other groups. It's theirs by divine right. And we're going to find out. And the Palestinians are calling for their elimination. If you read that 365 Israel News, you'll see examples of it. Strong examples. And our current administration is siding with the Palestinians, whereas the one before sided with Israel. Because they moved the embassy to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the ultimate objective. But the forces of evil want to control it, and ultimately God is going to set His Son on that throne. The Jews are going to go through a lot, but these enemies around them that are doing all this terrorism, and it's all through. I see it more and more and more. God is going to reach the point. I've had enough. And the implementation of the curse clause of the Abrahamic covenant. Those who curse you, I will curse. Those who bless you, I will bless. This doesn't make the Jews all good. And they got it all. They got some big problems. Not the least of which is who's the Messiah. But that's gonna turn around after the rapture. I have seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. And have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters. The taskmasters were the guys that did these, where you had gangs of workmen. And the taskmasters were told, increase the workload. I'll give you free rein over them. And of course, some of them were brutal. They enjoyed beating people and making people miserable. The taskmasters are the ones who directly afflicted the average Jew at work, out on the projects. Long hours. For I am aware of their sufferings. So language of God. So I've come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians. Now I'm going to act. I'm going to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians. The Egyptians have power. And to bring them up from that land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey. That's idiomatic. To the place of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, and the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Now behold, the cry of Israel has come to me. Furthermore, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. Now it's payback time. It's payback time. They're going to pay for all this time. And the Egyptians didn't just quit with the destruction of Pharaoh's army at the Red Sea. The last thing he had on his side. No. It created a vacuum. And some very nasty people came roaring into Egypt when they realized it had it. And they ruled over the Egyptians for 430 years before native Egyptians rose up and pushed them out. That's why Egypt is never mentioned, ever. I mean, it's mentioned, but not as existing, as Egypt in power. In Judges. All through Joshua, Judges. They'll refer to the Egyptians in the past tense, but not as a... And then when you get to the period of Samuel, all the rest, then Egypt becomes an issue again. Historians call them the Hyksos. The Hyksos. And I believe they're the same as the Amalekites, a very cruel race. The one that God said, exterminate it from the face of the earth. So So the Lord will deliver you from all your afflictions. Just bear up under them. You're in good company. You've got Jesus Christ. You've got the prophets. You've got the believers that hung tough during the intertestament period, during the oppression of the Greek oppressor, Antiochus Epiphanes, that clown. They had to go live in holes in the ground and hide out. So, and then of course all the persecution that has occurred through the church age from different sources towards Christians. We will be persecuted, but we are in good company. And we're not above Jesus Christ. And the same glory and blessing that has come to Him and will come to Him as a result of what He went through will come to you and I. We're going to share in the spoils of victory. You need to meditate on this from time to time. We're going to inherit the earth. We're going to be at the top of the food chain. We're going to inherit the earth. And what all that means in the millennium, I'll have to wait and see. We have some inkling. But we're going to inherit the earth. We're going to be given high positions of glory and honor and power over the regular human race that will grow and grow and grow during the millennial era. This is going to be a rule of righteousness. It won't be a time when, oh, you can't say that, you'll upset people. You can't point out that this is wrong, evil, and corrupt. The knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters that cover the sea. And the only jokes are going to be made is the stupid crap that we believed as people back here. There will be proverbs, derogatory, about and sayings about the United U.S. of A. I got verses on it. It will not be referred to in positive terms. No, it will be always, you're acting like this is not appropriate. I can't imagine living in a world, but I'm looking forward to it, where there's no false religion, there's no false science, there's no political oppression, there's no, one-worlders running around. There's no dictators trying to gain power over people. And nobody can solve their problems with nation to nation by warfare. Warfare and the learning of the martial arts will be eliminated. You can probably have sports, but you cannot build up weapons and train soldiers. You got a problem, you go to the court of arbitration and Jesus Christ will settle it. You got a dispute over water, land, what you name it. He will rule on it and you will like it. None of this mess. That's the new world order that's coming. He's going to completely clean up the earth. I almost said planet. All these dummy people, I can read it all the time. You're going to clean up the planet. Clean up the earth. That's ingrained in us. He's going to clean up the earth. Lift the curse. And there's a verse in Revelation. I'm going to destroy those that destroy the earth. And that's the environment. He's going to take care of it. So those out there in the World Economic Forum, who the World Health Organization, all that mess. It's all going down. You can hurt us. You can do what you want to believers. But only under the permissive will of God. But in the end, it's on the horizon. Mock it, ignore it, but it's coming. As surely as when Moses and Aaron walked into Pharaoh's royal court and said, let my people, Yahweh says, let my people go. A polite request, I don't know Yahweh, and no, I won't let your people go. Okay. You're going to go to the University of Yahweh, and you're going to learn the hard way. And every time a plague would hit, he'd go running to Moses, lift it, and I'll be okay. And then he'd lie and harden his heart, and down we went. And he took his entire nation into destruction. He knew he would not. This is the amazing thing of people. The way they harden their hearts. And I'll just pick Christians. Even ones that were once positive. Once they start hardening their hearts. We go through all this. We identify with how perverse that generation that God so graciously delivered up out of Egypt. They got to see His mighty works and signs, not just in the destruction of Egypt, but in all that history they had of 40 years. And that generation did not appreciate it, complained constantly. They had all this wealth they hauled off from Egypt. They were hard bodies. These people were not, you know, what they called couch potatoes. They worked hard. They were tough physically. They could walk. They could do this, all this. It was perfect training ground for living that 40 years in the wilderness where you're living in tents and picking them up and you're marching and you're going to the next place. And all God did, they face a test. They'd all start complaining, falling apart. Rather, God would deliver them. God had 10 tests for that generation. They flunked every last one of them. I believe if they'd have passed the last one, they could have been okay. But they weren't of a mind to. They were of a mind to fall apart, complain, and say the most perverted things. You brought us and our little kids out here to kill us. No, it's just going to kill you. And your little kids are going to march on. Because they're the ones that are going to turn to the Lord and act right. And the whole thing's believers. It's amazing. Those lessons in the Bible are lost on a lot of people. They're not lost on me. God will not put you under any test you are not able to handle. 1 Corinthians 10:13. He will supply you with the grace to handle every test. Proverbs 3:34. All right, well, you picked up a doctrine. I will let you go. I'll see you. Today's Tuesday, isn't it? Deacons need to meet afterwards, like I said. Okay. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May these things encourage each of us to persevere under adversity in these last days. In Christ's name.